There is drama all around us. We're facing severe challenges. Unless you're not paying attention, it doesn't seem as if anyone really has the solutions to the problems facing us in the world.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
No question, the pandemic has put a hurting on church attendance. But as many churches struggle back towards pre-pandemic levels of church attendance, there is a larger, more threatening issue afoot. Polls show many folks no longer think the church is important in today's context. In this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant gives three reasons why the church is indeed critically important for today. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Is the Church Critically Important Today?
Harriet Jones was a member of Grace Church. This was a church in a small rural town. Most members of the church were afraid of Harriet. For Harriet, Harriet was the biggest gossip in the church. And she went around spreading stories about people. But Harriet finally found her match when George Mason became a member of the church. One Saturday, George Mason parked his truck in front of the town's only bar. And Harriet was observing. And so the next day at church, after church was finished, Harriet, in front of a whole number of members, accused George of being an alcoholic. She said the very reason why George's truck would be parked in front of the bar all evening, it has to be because he is an alcoholic. Well, poor George, he didn't say a thing, but he developed a plan. And that evening, he watched to see, make sure that Harriet had gone to bed, and then he parked his truck in her driveway. And he left his truck in Harriet's driveway all night. You can imagine what the members of the church said when they found out that George's truck was in front of Harriet's house all night. Harriet's days of gossiping were over. By the way, that's just a fictitious story that I made up. But the sad truth is that there's so much drama going on in some churches today, it's no wonder that people are walking away from church. So if you were to ask people on the street, why is the church important? Some people would laugh because as far as they're concerned, the church is not important at all. In fact, many people today believe that the church is totally irrelevant. And as a result, church attendance in America is rapidly declining. And if you were to ask folks why, one of the big reasons they'd give you is because as far as they're concerned, the church is no longer relevant. But my friend, they are wrong. For there has never been another time in history when the church was more critically needed than it is today. For today, the world is, there is drama all around us. We're facing severe challenges. Unless you're not paying attention, it doesn't seem as if anyone really has the solutions to the problems facing us in the world. America's got problems. Europe's got problems. Asia's got problems. There are problems everywhere, and no one seems to have the answers. But I'm here today to let you know I know someone who has the answer, because Jesus Christ has the answer. Amen. The Lord of the church has the answers, for he is the omnipotent God, and all authority has been given to him. This is my fifth message in the series on Christian apologetics, and today I want to answer the question, why is the church critically important today. And I'm going to share with you three reasons why I believe there are so many more, but we're only going to talk about three. And if you're a visitor, you'll notice there's that insert in your bulletin that allows you to follow on. I want to share with you this morning just three reasons why the church is critically important today. First, the church is critically important because the message of the cross is the only message of salvation. Please don't miss it. The only message of salvation. I'm staying right in the passage that was read for us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is what? It is the power of God. The message of the cross is foolishness. The ungodly may regard the message of the cross as foolishness and irrelevant. But young people, please know that this message that they may say is irrelevant, listen, it is the very power of God." Corinth was regarded as one of the most wicked cities in its time and was located on an isthmus that linked mainland Greece with the Peloponnesian Peninsula, giving you a little bit of a geography lesson because it's going to be important. And in case you forgot what an isthmus is, you remember what an isthmus is? I'm going to help you, and we're going to put it on the screen so you'll see an isthmus. In case you forget, young people, you better pay attention and hear, because you may get this one day in your geography lesson, and if you remember, you'll get an A, and then you can come back and say, "Brother Brian, I got an A because of that message." Okay, in case, here is an isthmus, okay? An isthmus links two large land areas, and you see it's pointing right there to the isthmus of Corinth. It's linking Peloponnese and over the larger sides of Greece, okay? So an isthmus is a narrow piece of land linking two large land areas. But here's what's critical. An isthmus must be surrounded on both sides by water. Did you remember that part of your geography? There's got to be either the sea or the ocean on both sides of the isthmus. So by the way, you know, can you tell me an isthmus nearby? Panama is an isthmus. Panama is an isthmus that links North America with South America. It has the Atlantic Ocean on one side and the Pacific Ocean on the other. And because they cut a canal through the isthmus of Panama, they dramatically, all this is relevant to the message, they dramatically shortened the journey between the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean. I was shocked. Do you realize a ship going from New York to San Francisco saves 8,000 miles and 4 months because of Panama Canal? Did you know that? It's that big a deal. So guess what? Just as the Panama Canal is so essential for trade today, the Isthmus of Corinth was as crucial to trade in Paul's day. Today, Corinth has a canal. But back then, there was no canal. So what they would have to do, they devised a way to take a ship out of the sea and drag it 4 miles across land, across the Isthmus of Corinth, to get it from the Ionian Sea to the Aegean Sea. Now, I hope you understand. I hope that helps you to understand why Corinth was so bad. You see, Corinth became a pleasure city because sailors, merchants, refugees, adventurers, everybody was passing through Corinth because that was the shortcut. So while they were passing through Corinth, they would just stop off for a while, because Corinth became known as the Vegas of its day. And anything happened. As they say, what happened in Corinth stayed in Corinth. And everybody was hanging out in Corinth. Corinth was a pleasure city. And the members of the church at Corinth, this is the key here, the members of the church at Corinth were once part of that sinful lifestyle. These people were raised in Satan's kitchen. But thank God for the gospel, amen. For there is power in the gospel. What we said, the message of the cross is the only message of salvation. And despite their background, Paul in Romans chapter 1, 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And despite their background, the gospel of Jesus Christ had transformed the lives of these people. I wonder if there's anybody here today who can testify that the gospel has transformed my life. Amen. God took a hold of a bunch of seasoned sinners in Corinth and saved them by his grace. And just in case you don't think you're one of the seasoned sinners, you may as well realize we're all sinners. You know, Sunday school teacher asked her class, what is a sin of omission? And a little boy raised his hand. And he said, a sin of omission is a sin you planned to do, but you didn't get around to doing it. His answer was wrong, but he was right, for we are all sinners. Some sins we planned, and some we didn't. I'm not going to do a little review, but let's be honest. Sometimes we did some sins we didn't even plan. Some we planned, and some we didn't plan. But the bottom line is, we are all sinners. You know, it's interesting if we pause just to look at some of the sins the Corinthians were into, because the Bible actually tells you about some of the stuff they were into. Jump with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because as we look at some of what they were into, it's like the story of America, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. And it says here, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And as he writes to the Christians in the church, he said, and such were some of you. This is what you were like. There were some of them who were taking money by force. They were holding up people and taking money by force. Sounds like these, what they call it's going on in Philly now with the cars. Hijacking, carjacking. They were extortioners. They were thieves, drug abusers. And they were into all sorts of sexual misbehavior. You know, some people listening may be a little upset that the Bible talks about some of these things, and they're wondering, hey, they're not pleased. And some of you may even be getting ready. You may be listening on the radio, and you're getting ready to send me a letter. You may as well save your time, because as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus, we must preach what the Bible says. Listen, God, my friend, God makes the rules about human sexuality, and no decision of the Supreme Court, no decision of the Congress, no matter what our society might say, changes God's mind. My friend, I want you to know that God has spoken, and whatever sexual sin you might be into, you may be committing sexual sin with people of the same sex or people of the other sex. Listen, God still calls it sin, and God is going to judge us unless we repent and change our ways. Amen? But thank God there is a remedy for sin. Because, boy, I tell you, there was no remedy. We'd all be in trouble. But 1 John 1, 7 tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from what? Cleanses us from not just a few sin, but hallelujah, it cleanses us from all sin. And no matter what you have done or I have done, thank God for the cross. These folks in Corinth, despite their bad history, despite the fact that they were extortioners and carjackers, they may have been hijacking buggies. Regardless of what they were hijacking, the blood of Jesus had cleansed them. And look at what happens here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The apostle said, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified. Sanctified has the idea that God has made you holy. Listen, you were sanctified, you were justified, meaning you were declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Our past is not what counts. Some folks like to go looking down their noses at other people because of their past. Listen, the past doesn't matter, because when we're under the blood of Jesus has washed away all our sin. Hallelujah. And we are righteous. God declares us righteous. He justifies us. He sanctifies us. And he makes us fit for heaven. Hallelujah for the blood. The blood still works. A few years ago, I spoke at a conference in New York City, and I challenged a congregation to share God's message of love with their community. It was in Harlem. Two ladies in the congregation took me so seriously, took God so seriously, that as soon as they left church, they started witnessing. And they'd only gone half a block when they ran into this young man, a man in his 30s, and they started a conversation, and eventually got to share the message of the love of God and God's offer of eternal salvation, God's offer of forgiveness. And this young man was so broken before God, he knelt right there at 133rd Street and Lenox in Harlem. He didn't care who was watching. At 133rd and Lenox, that young man, he knelt down and he prayed and he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And after that, they brought him, because I was still at the church, they brought him so I could meet him. And he shared with me. He said, you know, I turned my back on the church and God, as far as I was concerned, that was not for me. And he said, I have tried everything out there, everything I've tried, but I'm still empty. But I'm so happy to know that Jesus still loved me and that he's willing to save me. And now he's looking forward to living a life with God. Listen, thank God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the cross, is the only message that can give us salvation. Amen. Oh, I wish more of us would be willing to share it. If we got this message, why are we keeping it just inside the church? First, the message of the cross is critically important because it is the only message of salvation. But second, the church is critically important because the message of the cross is the only pathway to God's wisdom. It's the only pathway to God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians, and back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Many people believe that the message of the cross and the Bible are both foolishness. But the truth is, the wisdom of the world is foolishness. You know, for years, the famous atheist, he's now dead, Richard Dawkins, and others in the new atheist movement ridiculed the Bible and told us that if we got rid of the church, it would make the world happier, healthier, and more moral. What a joke. You got to be blind to see that was baloney. You know, a few years ago, we were staying in downtown San Francisco, and when every morning we got up, we noticed At night, we noticed that all these drug addicts were so strung out, they were all just lying in front of the hotel. And every morning, they had the cleaning crews to come by to clean the feces and the urine off of the sidewalks. That is what the wisdom of the world led to. Just, and the crazy country, the crazy thing is, we're saying, let's make drugs. Just do it if you want to. Crime around the country is out of control. Am I right about it? In Philadelphia, over 1,500 people have already been shot this year. 1,500. My friend, the world's wisdom is not working. For our world is full of worry, fear, chaos, and disappointment, and things seem to be getting worse every year. But God has a better way. Amen. Look at verse 25. God says here in 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Now, don't believe God has any foolishness, but it's just giving you a comparison. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Here's what God is saying. God's wisdom is in a class by itself. Amen. God's wisdom is so superior to worldly wisdom, even secular researchers are often taken by surprise. No, I was blown away when I saw this. In 2019, in an article appearing in the Wall Street Journal, written by Erica Komisar, a well-respected and well-known author and psychoanalyst, she said that parents who don't believe in God often come to her asking her how to talk to children about death. Do you know what she said? She said, my answer is always the same. I tell the parents to lie. She said, I tell the parents to lie and to talk to their children as if God exists. So even though the parent does not believe in God, she says, if you want to help your children deal with death, lie to them and pretend as if God really exists. We know he doesn't, she's saying, but lie anyhow. Let them believe he exists. Now, why would a respected psychoanalyst do that? Money. It's not only money. That is a good answer. But there's a better answer. You see, secular researchers have discovered that God's wisdom actually works. Although there is no God, they believe what the Bible says actually works. Listen, research shows that belief in God is good for a child's mental health. You ready for the next part? In her research, Erica Komisar and other researchers have observed that kids who attend church an average of once per week, I couldn't have written anything better myself. Here's this ungodly lady telling us as the Christians, the power of the church and the power of the message of God. You ready for what they found out? They discovered that children who go to church an average of once per week were less likely to get involved in drugs, less likely to become sexually active at an early age, less likely to be involved in risky sexual behavior, but more likely to have a high level of happiness and more likely to have a sense of purpose.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.